Help minimize the distractions. I ask that you'd help everyone to be attentive, Father. I pray you'd help me to be attentive to the moving of the Holy Spirit, Father. That you'd help me to say the things that you would want me to say, and that I wouldn't say those things that don't need to be said. And Lord, I pray you'd allow the next few moments to be just a time of encouragement, maybe a time of learning, a time of understanding things from the Bible. In your precious name, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, well, we're there in Proverbs chapter number 8. And you know, this morning, I guess I want to give a little bit of a disclaimer in regards to the sermon, and the reason is this. You know, Verity Baptist Church is not your normal type church, and the fact that most churches specialize in preaching generic type sermons that aren't going to offend anybody, aren't going to bother anybody. And you know, at Verity Baptist Church, we like to make sure when we're preaching the Bible that we're preaching things that are practical, things that can help you. We're trying to be very specific in regards to what the Bible teaches. And today I'm preaching a sermon that maybe is a little different. Actually, I know it's a little different, but I want to teach it to you. And I don't want you to just, when you hear what I'm preaching about, just tune me off, okay? I'd like you to do me this favor. When you hear what I'm preaching, hear what the Bible has to say in regards to it, and make your own decision at the end of the day. And at the end of the day, if you disagree with me, hey, we can shake hands and still be friends. But I want you to understand, and it's not controversial or anything, but you know, this week, on Wednesday of this week, our nation is going to be celebrating a holiday called Halloween. And you know, something I've noticed with Christianity today is that because of very little Bible reading and very little Bible study and very little just caring what the Bible says about much of anything, many of us just, like sheep, will follow along and do things. And you know, we must always question everything the world does and everything we do, and question whether it's something God wants us to do. This morning, I want to preach to you on the subject of Halloween, and here's the only reason. We must ask this question, and you must ask yourself this question. Is Halloween a holiday that Christians should partake in? Is it a holiday that they should celebrate? Now, you say, well, Pastor, I've never heard anybody say this, or I've never heard anybody say anything bad about Halloween. Well, and that may be the case. But you know, this morning, I'd just like to give you, and if you'd open your mind to the idea, I'd like to just give you five things to think about. Five things to consider in regards to why, you know, what the Bible says in regards to these things, and specifically in regards to the celebration of Halloween. Now, we're there in Proverbs chapter number 8. And Proverbs chapter 8 is a very interesting passage in the book of Proverbs. And the reason is because we're being taught about wisdom, but wisdom is personified in the way that it's talked about, in the sense that it is a person. It talks about it dwells in different places, and it talks about how it did this and it did that. It says it was there when God created the earth and all these different things. But you know, really, we've got to understand, the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And when the Bible tells us these things about wisdom in Proverbs chapter number 8, we've got to understand that wisdom comes from God. And when wisdom is speaking, it's almost as if God is speaking to us what is wise and what is not wise. And like I said, this morning I want to give you five thoughts in regards to things that you ought to consider. You say, well, it doesn't matter what you say, I'm still going to believe the way you do. That's fine. But, you know, we would grow in our Christianity if we'd at least start questioning the things we do. If we'd at least start questioning, is this something God would agree with, or something God... So I want to give you five things to think about in regards to this holiday of Halloween. Number one, Halloween glorifies death. Halloween glorifies death. I think we all understand that Halloween, it's all about what? Ghosts, ghouls, goblins, vampires, and mummies. The whole purpose behind the celebration of Halloween is highlighting, or really celebrating and glorifying, the concept of death. Now here's something you say, well, what's wrong with that? Well, if you're there in Proverbs chapter number 8, if you look at verse number 35, like I said, we have the wisdom is speaking, but we know that wisdom comes from God. And the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter number 9 and verse 35, it says, whoso findeth me, talking about wisdom, whoso findeth wisdom, findeth, notice the next word, life. Do you see that?
Yeah.
How do you find life? By finding wisdom. And shall obtain favor from the Lord. But look at verse number 36. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. And notice what the Bible says, the last phrase of verse 36. All they that hate me love what?
Death.
You see that? God says, hey, if you hate wisdom, you love death. And he says, if you find wisdom, you'll find life. See, the Bible tells us it's a negative thing to love that, or the concept of that. And by the way, let me just say this. Every year, the Sunday before Halloween, just because some of you, you know, I don't know if you may remember or not, but every year, the Sunday before Halloween, I always preach a sermon in regards to Halloween. And you say, why do you do that? Well, because sometimes we have new people coming that never heard us preach on the subject. We want to make sure they understand what we believe about it and what the Bible says. You know, and sometimes I get worried, like, well, if I preach on this again, I preached on it last year. And I think, well, a year ago, people don't remember. And you know, it's funny because this week I was thinking to myself, should I preach on Halloween again? I mean, people are going to see, like, oh, he preached on it last year. But then as I was thinking about that, later on, I was thinking that on Monday. On Tuesday, I was talking to a pastor, another pastor, a friend that I have, and he said to me, what'd you preach on Sunday morning? Now keep in mind, this is Tuesday, okay? 2 days after Sunday. And I sat there and I thought, and I said, good night. I don't remember what I preached on Sunday morning. And I thought to myself, man, if I don't remember what I preached on Sunday morning, you know, the people aren't going to remember what I preached about Halloween a year ago. I mean, good night. So anyway, sometimes we got to hear things a couple times, you know. So next Sunday morning, I'm preaching last Sunday morning sermon, okay? And we'll see I'm just kidding. Halloween glorifies death. Look at verse 36 again. But he that sinneth against me, wrongeth his soul, all they that hate me, love death. You know, our world, I don't know if you've noticed this, but our world is fascinated with death. Go to Mark in your New Testament there. Matthew, Mark is the second book in the New Testament. Mark chapter number 5. Mark chapter number 5. So God was kind of letting me know. Go ahead and preach it. You're fine. They don't remember. And the ones that remember don't care, so it's fine. Mark chapter 5. Our world is fascinated with death. You know, I don't know if you've noticed this, but this is why, if you notice, the world's music deals a lot with the concept of death. Have you noticed, and I don't watch television, I don't even own a television, but have you noticed that on television and on movies, they show death and murder just constantly, all the time, putting it in front of the people's faces, in front of their eyes? You know, this is, and you say, and people have these ideas like, why is the suicide rate among teenagers so high? Why is the suicide rate among this sector of society or this sector of society so high? And really, one of the reasons that suicide rates are so high, I believe, is because the concept of death is constantly in front of us. Let me tell you something. The devil and the world love death, but the Bible says, they that hate me, love death. And the Bible says, those who love death hate God's wisdom. Those who love death hate God's presence. And if you're there in Mark chapter 5, let me show you something very interesting. Mark chapter number 5, if you look at verse number 1, Mark chapter number 5 and verse number 1, are you there yet? Mark chapter 5 and verse 1, the Bible says, and they came over unto the other side of the sea. This is the Lord Jesus Christ, by the way. It says, they came over unto the other side by the sea in the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately, so Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, came out of the ship, and immediately there met him out of the, make note of this, tombs. You see that? There met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Do you know what that word unclean spirit is referring to? It's referring to the fact that it was a demon. Okay, this man is demon possessed. And where does a demon possessed person hang out? At the tombs. You see that? Immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Look at verse 3. Who had his dwelling among the tombs. You see that? That's where he lived. He ran away from home, he wasn't living in society anymore, and he dwelled among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains. You see that? Look at verse 4. Because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. So the Bible says there's this man, he was demon-possessed, no one could tame him, they tried to lock him up, and he'd break up the chains, he was living out in the tombs. Other passages tell us this man was naked. Look at verse 5. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs. Look, night and day, he was in the mountains and the tombs and in crying. And notice this. People say, the Bible is archaic. The Bible doesn't apply to human life today. Look at verse 5. Very interesting. Tell me if this sounds like teenagers to you today. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. You see that? You know, it's a very popular thing right now with teenagers. To listen to music that's all about death. To wear dark colors. It's a cool thing to be depressed all the time. And you know what they do? They cut themselves. And people say, well, they're just rebelling. They're just, you know, when I read stuff like this, and I'm not saying that they're all demon-possessed, but I seem to wonder. I wonder if some of them are just demon-possessed. I wonder if some of them, we just need to get them saved. Get that spirit out of them. It says in verse 5, and always night and day he was in mountains and the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. You don't want to understand. When a man was possessed with an unclean spirit, a spirit that was anti-God, a spirit that hated God, he found himself dwelling among the dead in the tombs. He found himself cutting himself and doing these odd things. Look at verse 6. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, the Son of God, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. It's funny how the spirits have respect for Jesus Christ. You think we'd have respect for Jesus Christ? Look at verse 8. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. The word legion means, it refers back to the Roman Empire there, when the soldiers would have like, it'd be an army of 3,000 to 6,000 soldiers, and they referred to that as a legion. And when God asked this, when Jesus asked this man, what's the name of this demon? He said, well, there's too many of us to name, you can just call us Legion. Referring to the fact that this guy literally probably had 3,000 to 6,000 demons inside him. And I'm not going to take the time to show it to you, but in other passages, in the Gospels, parallel passages, the Bible says that Jesus commanded the spirits to come out of him, and he had them, they went into a group of, I think it was 2,000 swine, but don't quote me on that, I don't have that in front of me, but into these swine, and they ran off a cliff, and they died. And the people were mad at Jesus because he ruined their business. Because their swine was in their business. Like, they didn't care that he healed this man. But here's what's interesting, okay? The Bible says that after Jesus cast the devil out of him, the man was clothed and in his right mind. Is that what it says? You know what that tells us? Well, number one, he was out of his mind. He was crazy. And number two, he was naked. Tell me that doesn't describe teenagers today. Just fascinated with the concept of death. Fascinated with the concept of cutting themselves. Fascinated with the concept of nakedness and fornication. You say, Pastor, why are you saying that? There is a systematic attack on our society today. And one of the main things that the devil is hurting our children with, and hurting even our adults with, and hurting our society with, is with this concept of the love of death. And so often, as a pastor, I'll talk to a mom, or I'll talk to a dad, or I'll talk to an adult, and I'll have to try to console them about the fact that my child is fascinated with death, or my child is depressed, or my child is this, or my child is cutting himself, or my child is this. And you know, I wonder if it had anything to do with the fact that from a little child, we taught them, hey, it's Halloween, you know what's cool? Death. Say, well, why are they so fascinated with death when they're 14? Maybe because when they were 4, you taught them it was a fun thing. Yeah. Say, what should you consider? What should we consider as Christianity is about Halloween? You ought to consider that it glorifies death. And you ought to consider the fact that maybe we're sending the wrong message to our young people. Go to John. You're there in Matthew, Mark. Go past the book of Luke. Go to John. In John chapter number 11. John chapter number 11. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter number 11. Look at verse number 25, John chapter number 11. Verse number 25. John chapter number 11 and verse number 25, the Bible says, Jesus said unto her. You say, why should Christians not glorify death? Well, you know why God is so anti-death? You know why Christians shouldn't glorify death? Because Christians will never die. Did you know that? In John chapter number 11, verse number 25, the Bible says, Jesus said unto her. And by the way, this is Jesus at a funeral. And not only is Jesus at a funeral, this is Jesus at a funeral talking to an emotional woman whose brother just died and who's blaming Jesus for her brother's death. Jesus shows up to the funeral and the first thing he's confronted with is some lady coming up to him and saying, if you got here earlier, he wouldn't have died. It's your fault he's dead. You know what Jesus responded to? Look at verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, look what it says, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Look at verse number 26. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me, look what the Bible says, shall never die. And then I love it that he answers this question, believest thou this? Yes. You know that Christians never die? Say, well, I've known Christians that die. No, see, one day this body may go to sleep, is what the Bible says. But the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. When you got saved, you know that, and the Holy Spirit came to live inside of you, and you were, you know, given a home in heaven. Let me tell you something. Christians will never experience death. Because you know what death is? It's the lake of fire. Death is hell. The Bible tells us
story is not found written in the book of life, was cast into the lake of fire. But you know what? I'll never die. I'll never experience death. When I take my last breath here on earth, I'll take my first breath up in heaven. The Bible says my soul will go directly to heaven. This body may be asleep for some time. This body may get buried, and you might put it in front of a pulpit somewhere, and you might have people come wearing dark colors and mourning, and they might say, Pastor Jimenez is dead, and we're so sad about it. I hope that's what they say. But they say, you know, Pastor Jimenez is dead, but you know what? I won't be dead. I'll be quite alive in heaven.
Yes.
I'll never die.
Yes.
And because Christians will never die, Christians are not glorified death.
Amen.
Something to think about. Number two, something to consider in regards to Halloween. Not only does Halloween glorify death, Halloween glorifies darkness. Halloween glorifies darkness. Did you know that in the Bible, darkness always represents sin, and light always represents righteousness in God? I'm not going to ask you to turn to these passages. You can go there if you want. I'm going to read through them just real quickly. I've got them here in front of me. But let me just read to you some passages in regards to the concept of darkness versus light in the Bible. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 52, the Bible says, Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, Be ye not come out as against a thief with sword and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hand against me. But, this is Jesus Christ saying when they were arresting him to kill him. He said, But this is your hour and the power of darkness. John chapter number 8 and verse 12, the Bible says, Then spake Jesus again to them, unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John chapter 12 and verse 35 says, Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. John chapter 12 and verse 46 says, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Acts chapter number 26 and verse 18 says, To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Romans 13:12 says, The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? Ephesians 5:8 says, For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as the children of light. Ephesians 6:12, For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Colossians 1:13 says, Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. 1 Thessalonians 5:5 says, Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. 1 Peter 2:9 says, But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. 1 John 1:5 says, Then this is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. You want me to keep going? I can read more verses.
Yes, yes.
Have I made my point? The Bible, the concept of the Bible is that darkness is always bad, and light is always... And you know what, children? Let me just teach you something right now. Darkness is always bad. Light is always good. Keep your finger there. If you're still in John, keep your finger there in John because we're coming back to it. But I want you to see this verse. Go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 5. If you can find the T books in your New Testament, all those T books are grouped together. 1, 2 Thessalonians, 1, 2 Timothy, and Titus. You want 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 5. Look at verse number 7. 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 5. Look at verse number 7. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 7, you say, Why is it that the Bible is so consistent that darkness is bad and light is good? Why is that? Well, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 7, we get a glimpse into why the Bible says that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 7, the Bible says, For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken... Now, is it a good thing to be drunken?
No.
Look what it says. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the... What?
Night.
You see that? See, let me show you another verse. Go to John. I told you to keep your place there, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John.
chapter 3. I told you to keep your place there. If you lost your place, that's your fault. John chapter 3. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. It's the fourth book in the Bible. Should be easy to find. John chapter number 3. Look at verse number 19. I want you to see this verse. John chapter number 3, verse 19. John chapter 3, verse 19. The Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse 19, it says, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world." Who was that light? Jesus Christ. John 3:19, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light." Why? Because their deeds were evil. You see that? See, in darkness is where sin is committed. In darkness, according to the Bible, is when people get drunk. In darkness is when violent crimes... You know that most violent crimes are committed at night? You know that most fornication is committed in the dark? You know that most adultery is committed at night? You know that in darkness is when murder is committed? You know that in darkness is when people do things that they would never do in the light? My wife was just telling me about a news article she was reading about. You might have heard of it. This nanny in New York City was a nanny for a high-powered type of executive, I think for NBC or one of the broadcasting things. And this nanny, who'd been a nanny of three children for a long time, she killed these children. But when the mother came home to pick, or to the nanny's home or something, to pick up the children, it was, you know, it's New York City, so it's like they live in I don't know what they even call them. They're not apartments, but condos, something like that. She went there. She opened the door. She looked inside. Everything was dark. So she went back out to talk to the receptionist, the people there. She said, "You know, so-and-so has checked in. Are they in?" And he said, "Yeah, they should be in their apartment." So she went back in there. Everything was dark. She turned the lights on, went in the bathroom, found that this lady had done this thing. But here's the interesting thing. Lady had done it when? In the dark. Isn't that interesting? No, most sin is performed in the dark. You know that it's not a coincidence? Are you aware that sinful places are often in the dark? Think about a bar. Isn't it always lightly dimmed? Casinos are dark. Nightclubs are dark. I was talking to one of my good friends, actually Pastor Steve Anderson, about, we were talking about this concept of darkness, and he was preaching something similar to this about darkness always being a place of sin. And he told a story, I'll never forget it. He had preached this to at his church, this concept about darkness and stuff. And two or three weeks after that, his family, one of the families there in the church had gone on a trip. And this is a good family, they're good people. And they were going through a highway or whatever, you know, and they wanted to stop for dinner somewhere, and they saw, you know, a sign for, it was a casino. You know how these casinos always have these great deals of like 100 pieces of shrimp and 13 steaks for like $1.99 or whatever, you know. So they're like, "Oh, let's pull over there and eat." And this is what the family said. The father told Pastor Anderson this story. I thought it was interesting. He related it back to me. He said, "We weren't going to stop to do anything bad. We weren't going to gamble or anything like that. We're just going to go straight in to the restaurant, eat, and get back on the road." And they had their little children with them. And as soon as they step in the building there, the casino, one of the children, he pulled on his dad's pant leg, and he says, "Dad, we shouldn't be here." And he said, "Why?" He said, "Pastor Anderson said this is a bad place." And he's like, "I didn't even know my son knew what this place was." He's like, "Well, how do you know it's a bad place?" And here's what he said, "Because it's dark." That's pretty smart. It's pretty wise. Let me tell you something. Darkness is not a good thing. We should feel, and we should teach our children to feel, uncomfortable in dark places. Because usually, you know, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So what? You say, "Pastor, man, you're some sort of a heretic, you know, you're just extreme. You're preaching against Halloween." I just want to give you some things to think about. You know, something you may want to consider about Halloween is it glorifies death. Something you may want to consider about Halloween is that it glorifies darkness. Number three, something you may want to consider about Halloween is that it glorifies fear. Glorifies fear. Go to Psalm 66. Psalm 66 in your Bible there, in the Old Testament, close to the center. Psalm 66. Look at verse number 16. Psalm 66 and verse number 16. Psalm 66 and verse 16. The Bible says, Psalm 66 and verse 16. The Bible says, "Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul." Did I read the wrong verse? Psalm 66, verse 16. Is that the verse I wanted? Oh yeah, that's what I wanted. Good night. It's right in front of me. Come in here. Here's what I want you to see in this verse. All ye that fear God. Do you see that? The Bible teaches this concept that we ought to fear God. If you're there in Psalm 66, go to Psalm 111. Psalm 111, look at verse number 10. Psalm 111 and verse 10. And I could preach a whole sermon on just this subject, but let me just give you some verses to think about. Psalm 111 and verse number 10. Psalm 111 and verse number 10. The Bible says, the fear of the Lord, you see that? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. Go to Proverbs chapter number 1. Proverbs is right after the book of Psalms where we started this morning. Proverbs chapter number 1. Look at verse number 7. Proverbs chapter number 1 and verse number 7. Proverbs 1, 7. And the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs chapter 2. Look at verse 5. You're there in Proverbs 1. Just turn over to the next chapter. Proverbs chapter 2, verse number 5. The Bible says, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge of God. All throughout the Bible we find this concept that we ought to fear the Lord. Now sometimes people try to minimize this. And go to 2 Timothy in your New Testament. 2 Timothy towards the end of your New Testament. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Sometimes people try to minimize this concept of the fear of the Lord, and they'll say things like this. Well, when the Bible says you ought to fear the Lord, it's just saying you ought to respect the Lord. And look, let me tell you something. Of course when you fear the Lord, you ought to respect the Lord. But we ought not read into what... The Bible uses the word fear. If God wanted to use the word respect, He would have used the word respect. You know why I use the word fear? Because God wants you to be in fear of the Lord. God wants you to be afraid of the Lord. You know when I was growing up, I feared my dad. I was afraid of my dad. You say, why? Because my dad had a thing he called the belt. And he would use it on me when I disobeyed. But you know that when I feared him, I had no problem respecting him. You say, of course, fear has to do with respect. But you know what? I believe God wants us to be afraid to cross him. I believe God wants us to be afraid to sin against him. But here's the interesting thing with this concept of fear. All throughout the Bible, you find the word fear, and the only time fear is a positive thing is when you're fearing the Lord. But if you're... Are you there in 2 Timothy chapter 1? 2 Timothy chapter 1? Look at verse number 7. 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse 7. Every other time you find the word fear in the Bible, when it's not related to fearing the Lord, you know that it's always a negative thing. Look up the word fear every single time in your Bible, and if it's attributed to fearing the Lord, it's a good thing. Any other time it's mentioned, it's always a negative thing. 2 Timothy chapter 1, look at verse 7. Look what the Bible says. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Do you see that? But of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. The Bible says God hasn't given us the spirit of fear. In fact, the Bible says, here's the thing. When the contrast to having the spirit of fear, look what it says. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. The contrast is, but He has given us the spirit, look what it says, of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know that if we just got back to Bible preaching, you know that in America today, the vast majority of adults and people, and I'm not going to ask you to do this, I never ask you to do this, but if we took a survey of the people that are here today, you know that we would be surprised how many people have been prescribed anxiety pills, uppers and downers and this and that. You say, well, I've got these nerves and I'm just so, you don't understand, I'm just depressed and I got this. You know that honestly, most of that stuff is just the spirit of fear in your life. Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear. And look at what it says, the contrast. When you don't have the spirit of fear, here's what you do have, a sound mind. That's what it says. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Go to Philippians chapter number 1. Philippians chapter number 1. Philippians chapter number 1, look at verse number 28. Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 28. Philippians chapter number 1 and verse 28. And obviously, there are times when people need to take medicines. We understand that. But you also got to understand, a lot of this, you know, I heard somebody say this. There's no money in cures, but there's money in medicines. You understand that? A lot of these pharmaceutical companies aren't as interested as they may lead you to believe in finding cures as much as they're interested in just prescribing things. Because that's when they make money. You got to be very careful about those things. You got to take wisdom in regards to it. And you say, well, Pastor said, look, you pray about it and you think about it and you research it. You do your homework. What I'm trying to teach you is to think critically. Don't, well, the doctor said I need this. He's a practicing doctor, okay? He's practicing on you. So be very careful. Are you there in Philippians chapter 1? Look at verse number 28. Bible says, and in nothing terrified. That word is used a lot in our society today. Terror. Terrorist. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. What I'm trying to explain to you is this. Every time you're afraid, you have fear? Say, Pastor, you don't understand. I'm just overwhelmed with fear in regards to this situation in my life or that situation in my life. Or I don't know how this is going to turn out. Or I'm afraid that this is going to happen. Or I'm afraid that I may lose my job. Or I may lose my home. Or I may lose my health. Or I don't understand. Let me tell you something. Every time fear grips your heart, it never came from God. Because God has not given us a spirit of fear. God says you ought to fear God, and that's it. You ought to fear the Lord, and that's it. Anytime you feel fear, you know, it's, and by the way, it's normal to fear. I work a lot in different cities, and sometimes I'm in some neighborhoods that aren't that nice, and I'm working late, and I'll be walking down a dark street by myself in a place that's not that reputable. And you know, it's normal for you to start thinking, start having a little bit of fear inside of you. Start being afraid, like, oh, is everything going to be, I just want to, and we ought to be smart about it, but let me tell you, I always think it's funny, whenever that happens to me, and I find myself in this situation, I always think of Psalm 23:4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That's what the Bible said. God, here's what I'm telling you, every time, and he says, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. But here's what I'm trying to explain to you, every time the Bible uses the word fear, it's a negative thing, unless you're fearing the Lord. But what is Halloween all about? It's about this. It's fun to be afraid. Let's go to the horror house. Let's go to the horror film. And let's go get afraid. And that's a fun thing. Let me tell you something. God says it's a negative thing to be afraid. It's a negative thing to be in fear. The only thing you ought to fear is God. Is the Lord. Number four. Halloween. Oh, so he said number one, Halloween glorifies death. Number two, Halloween glorifies darkness. Number three, Halloween glorifies fear. Number four, Halloween glorifies the rulers of the darkness of this world. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter... I'm sorry, not chapter number 1. Chapter number 8. 1 Corinthians chapter number 8. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. And then you've got the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 8. Look at verse number 4. Now let me tell you something. Obviously we understand, and as adults we believe, that ghosts and ghouls and goblins and vampires and mummies and all these things, we understand that that's not real or it's fake. And in 1 Corinthians chapter number 8, the Bible, Paul states that in verse 4, look what it says. It says, as concerning therefore the eating of those things which are offered in sacrifice unto idols. Now he's talking about idols. So we got to understand the concept. But he says, when they sacrifice unto idols, look what he says. Verse 4. We know that an idol is nothing in the world. And there is none other God but one. Do you see that? And so people will say this. Pastor Jimenez, do you really believe in vampires? And I'll say, of course not. And I would say, like Paul said, look, we know that an idol is nothing. We know that there's just one God. Look at verse 20. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice, look what he says. They sacrifice to who? To devils. See, this is what Paul said. An idol is fake. It's not real. It's made up. There's only one God. But you know what is real? The devil. But I say that the things, verse 20, which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not have ye, and I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. You see that in verse 20? Look at verse 21. You cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of the devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of the devils. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, you don't have to turn there, but it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And look, the world has taught All this stuff is funny. What was the quote this today in the bulletin? The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world that he doesn't exist. See, you know what we've done in our society? Here's what we've done. We've made the devil funny. We've made witchcraft funny. We've made the powers of the darkness of this world funny. We've made death funny. You know, I remember growing up watching Looney Tunes and the devil was Porky the Pig. You know, and it was just a joke. It was just a cartoon. My wife didn't grow up in a church. She grew up, you know, just being a normal person. She wasn't saved until she was 17 years old. And she said, you know, when I was growing up, I was always taught just through television and talking to people that the devil wasn't even real. It was just made up. It was like a cartoon character. Let me tell you something. The Bible says the devil is as a roaring lion. Walking about, seeking whom he may devour. You think, well, this is funny. This is not real. It's just fake. The biggest trick he ever played was the fact that he made us believe he's not real. You say, well, Harry Potter is just funny. No, but do you understand that there's real witchcraft out there? Do you understand that there's real demons out there? Do you understand that there's real devils out there? You say, well, vampires, that's just funny. That's just movies we like to watch and books we like to read. Let me tell you something. All those things represent the real devil and a real Satan. And that devil wants to destroy your life, and that devil, and the best way for him to destroy your life and to wreak havoc in your home and to wreak havoc in our church is for us to think that he's not there. For us to think that he doesn't exist. You know, I don't dress my children up and say, the devil's funny. Death is funny. Darkness is funny. Let's laugh about it. I teach my kids, you be careful when you start messing around with things about the devil. It's not funny when some teenager walks up to you and says, you want to play with this Ouija board? And if you don't think kids are playing with Ouija boards, you need to wake up. And you say, well, do you really think it's going to do it? I don't know. We got a bunch of kids listening to music that's all about death. Got them dressing up in dark, you know, clothing. Got them playing Ouija boards and reading their Harry Potter. And then they're cutting themselves. And I wonder what the Bible has to say about that. You say, do you really think these people are demon possessed? It seems to fit the criteria.
Yes.
And you say, well, how did that happen? From a little child, we taught them, it's just a game. It's just fun. It's not real. Darkness is fun. What do all the little kids say during Halloween? What's the biggest thing? By the way, I never got to celebrate Halloween as a child. But you know what all my friends would say? I can't wait till it gets dark. So we can go trick-or-treating. And you know what those same kids say at 21? I can't wait till it gets dark so we can go get drunk.
Yeah.
And where'd they learn that from?
Yeah.
Say, Pastor, you're just taking this overboard. I'm just giving you a few things to think about. If you're going to do it, but at least do it on purpose and understand what you might be exposing your kids to. Number 5, and we're almost done. Halloween glorifies Hollywood. Halloween glorifies Hollywood. Go to Psalm 101. It should be fairly easy to find in your Bible there. Psalm 101. Psalm 101. And you know, as a child, when my parents wouldn't let me celebrate Halloween, you know, I thought I was getting ripped off too. But I got over it. It's okay. Not the end of the world. Psalm 101. Now here's the thing with Halloween. If you don't dress up like some evil being that glorifies Satan, then you know what you are probably dressing up like? Your favorite TV or movie character. Right?
Yeah.
What are good looking dress? You're either dressing up like some sort of a vampire, or you're dressing up like some sort of a cartoon character, TV character. And let me tell you something. You need to be very careful what you're exposing your kids to. Take something as harmless as Disney. Disney movies and Disneyland. And you think, well, what's the big deal? Well, think about this, though. You know that Disney movies use artists like Elton John to sing children's music. You say, well, why would they do that? You know, I don't know if you know who Elton John is, but he's a out-in-the-closet, proud homosexual. And he's not ashamed of it, and this is normal, this is fine. And we expose our children to The Lion King, and they're singing along with Elton John, when they're 5 and 6 or 7 years old, and then we wonder why they're singing along with Elton John when they're 17 and 18 and 19. And they're exposed to this. I mean, and we had a society of children growing up today saying, it's normal. Homosexuality is normal. when Ellen degenerate, I mean degenerates, is used. You know, why do they choose these people? You know, well, she's the voice of Finding Nemo. Why? Think about it. You say, well, I like that movie. I don't think there's anything wrong. That's fine. I'm just saying, have you thought about these things? Have you even considered it? Are you there in Psalm 101? Look at verse 1. Psalm 101, in verse 1, the Bible says, a Psalm of David, I will sing of mercy and judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Notice what he said. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I can't control walking around in the world, but in my heart, in my house, look at verse 3, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Amen. Hey, that's not television. Look what it says. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. You know what the Bible is saying there? You know what David is saying there? David is saying this. People who turn aside from the truth, he said, I'm not their fan. I'm not for their work. He said, in fact, I hate their work. When they turn aside. Look at verse 4. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. No, sometimes people walk up to me and say, oh, have you heard about so-and-so, you know, this basketball player? I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. A lot of times I want to say to these people, I will not know a wicked person. Pastor, have you heard, you know, I've got to go and do some research about, you know, who are the popular people just so that I can preach about it. The first time, what's that guy's name with the girl-looking hair? First time Justin Bieber came out, my wife and I had to look up how to pronounce his name just so I could preach against him. Because I had no idea who he was. I saw his picture. I thought it was like the next, you know, lesbian senator. I thought it was a woman. I'm like, this is a teen pop sensation of our day? Good night. How, girls like this guy? Looks like a girl. But I go, well, they grew up listening to Elton John. I will not know a wicked person. Look at verse 5. Whoso privately slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a prudent heart will I suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land. You know who I want my children to make heroes out of? Not Michael Jordan. Not, you know, Michael Jackson. Not Justin Bieber. I want them to look at men of God. Hey, I want them to look at people like my heroes, like Dr. Jack Hiles or like Pastor Mark Lewis or like great men of God, Pastor Steve Anderson. I want them to look at men like Paul and Moses and John and men in the Bible and say, hey, those are the people that are my heroes. Not these wicked people with no character, on drugs and alcohol, fornicating, and we want to make those the heroes of our children. You say, Pastor, I can't believe you're saying it. I'm just saying, have you considered what you're doing and how God feels about it? Look at verse 7. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight.
Yes, yes.
I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all the wicked doers from the city of the Lord. I'm just asking you to consider, have you considered that Halloween glorifies death, glorifies darkness, glorifies fear, glorifies the rulers of the darkness of this world, glorifies Halloween, glorifies Hollywood? You know, just in conclusion, let me say this. Actually, let's look at a few. Let me just show you a few more. We got time. I haven't preached that long. Go to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Let me just show you a few verses, and I'm going to give you a couple thoughts, and we'll be done. James chapter 4. Look at verse 4. James chapter 4, verse 4. James chapter 4, right after the book of Hebrews, James chapter 4. Verse number 4. James chapter 4, verse 4. The Bible says, ye adulterers and adulteresses. I'll wait for you to get there. James chapter 4. I still hear some pages turning. James chapter 4. I want you to see this, okay? James chapter 4, verse 4. James chapter number 4 and verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses. Know ye not, look what it says. Know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? You know what that word enmity means? It means you're at odds with each other. You know what the Bible says? When you're a friend of the world, you're at odds with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Look, I didn't put that in your Bible. And I know this type of sermon and these type of verses and these type of concepts aren't preached at the average church today. But we've got to get back to the place where we start considering what we're doing and what we're exposing our children to and what the Bible says. The Bible says the friendship of this world is enmity with God. The Bible says he that will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Go to 1 John. Actually, you know, don't go to 1 John. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians. While you go to 2 Corinthians, I'll read for you out of 1 John chapter 2. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Yes. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Are you there in 2 Corinthians chapter 6? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, look at verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Why? Why should you not be yoked together with unbelievers? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians. This last passage we'll look at. 1 Corinthians. You're at 2 Corinthians. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Look at verse number 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 20. 1 Corinthians 10, 20. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, look what it says, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. He says, look, I don't want you fellowshipping with devils. And by the way, teenagers, I don't want you, you shouldn't be fellowshipping with those kids that are into death and into cutting. Hey, don't fellowship with devils. It's not cool. I know our society thinks it's cool. MTV makes it out to be cool. All these movies make it out. You know, the cool thing, yeah. The cool thing today, somebody told me this phrase. Wish I could remember it. Emoticon? I don't know. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Emo? That's what it is. Emo. First time I heard it, I thought they were talking about Elmo, like Sesame Street. I'm like, yeah, Elmo's wicked too. No. Emo. You know that's a cool thing now? Here's what our world thinks it's cool. To be emotional. To always be. You know, you ever talk to these people? You can't ask them how you're doing because they're always, I'm struggling. Like, you ever have a good day? I've known you for like 5 years now. Every time I ask you how you're doing, I'm going through something. Yeah. Like, man, if I was going through something that much, I'd just start faking it. I'd just start smiling. Man, well, things are horrible, but I'm good. How are you? You know? I mean, good night. But you know what? It's just, that's the normal thing now. People are always struggling, always emotional, always sad about something. They're always fearing something. The Bible tells us, look at verse 21, 1 Corinthians 10, 21. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partaker of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. And let me just tell you something. If you go out and celebrate Halloween, first of all, I'm still your friend. I still love you. I'm not against you. But I want to explain something to you. You will not be in fellowship with God. Because God cannot have fellowship in darkness. God cannot have fellowship with the devil. God can't fellowship with death. They who hate me love death. God cannot fellowship with the Hollywood stars of this world. And if you go celebrate Halloween, you will not be in fellowship with other Christians. At least not Christians that are right with God. And if you go celebrate Halloween, you will be in fellowship with Satan. You will be in fellowship with the world. You'll be in fellowship with darkness. Now you may ask, well, what am I supposed to do, Pastor? We've been celebrating Halloween our whole lives, and our kids are expecting it. And look, let me say something. You know why we have a harvest party on October 31st? So you don't have to be at home with, you know, ignoring the knocks on your door when kids are showing up. You say, well, my kids are going to be devastated. You know, then they may be. I don't know. But I got a sneaky suspicion that you show up here on October 31st, we get them a bag of candy, and they start jumping in that jump house. They're going to be like, Halloween what? You can have fun. Let me just clue you in on Christianity. You know that you can have fun and not sin against God? You know that our world says this? The only way to have fun is to sin against God. The only way to have fun is to get drunk. These people are in bondage that have this idea. Every Friday night I gotta get drunk because it's the only way I can have fun. If the only way you can have fun is to get intoxicated, there's a problem there. You ought to be able to have fun and remember it. You know, you ought to be able to have fun and wake up the next day, you know, not throwing up. You know, not wake up to your toilet. You know, and this is what people say. I always think to me,
I had a great time last weekend. Can't remember half of it, but it was great.
You're an idiot. I'm sorry if you don't like that word. But you're an idiot. That's dumb. You're killing brain cells, and we can tell. You ought to be able to have fun in the house of God. You ought to be able to have fun with God's people. You ought to be able to have fun with the lights on. You may ask, well, what do I do? Come to the harvest party. I'll throw it to you first. What can I do? Hey, we're going to have prizes and chili. Hey, you can't beat that. Chili and a jump house? Good night. I wouldn't give that up for a costume. Hey, Pastor, I don't know what to think about this sermon. Here's all I'm asking you to do, and here's all I ever ask you to do. Study the Bible on your own. Think of these concepts on your own. And realize, what am I doing? And see, the thing about Halloween is this. It goes further than just Halloween. It goes into so many areas of our lives where we just allow the world to tell us this is normal. Santa Claus is normal. Let me tell you something. Christmas, are you a preacher against Christmas? I love Christmas. You know, except the whole buying gifts part. But other than that, I love Christmas. But you know what our world wants to do? Take the emphasis off Christ and put it on some fat guy. Take the emphasis, you know, they don't even call it Christmas, Christmas anymore. What do they call it? Xmas. Happy Holidays. Every time I go to Walmart, somebody says Happy Holidays to me. I say, Merry Christmas. God bless you. I'm just telling you, don't let the world tell us what is normal. The world's not normal. The world's cutting themselves in tombs, and they're depressed, and they have a spirit of fear in their lives. And if you and I would grow a backbone and stop being on the defensive and started being on the offensive and started preaching the gospel and started preaching sermons like this, maybe we could make a difference in our community. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord, so much. Thank you for our church. Lord, I understand that a sermon like this may be offensive to some or may think, wow, I've never heard anything like that. But I just pray that you'd help all of us to at least have the maturity to say, well, I'm going to check it out for myself. And I'm going to check it out on my own. And I'm going to figure out what it is the Bible teaches about this. Father, we love you. Thank you for those who are here. In your precious name, I pray. Amen.